I can make some notes too if there's something I want to remember. Let me ask you this. Did I spell your first name right?
C-O-R-I-N-A.
Is that right? Okay, good.
Do you know that for 12 years, my name was K-U-R-I-N-A?
No.
Because my mother didn't read or write.
Uh-huh.
And I had a baptismal certificate. The midwife never registered me when I was born at home.
Really?
And when it was time for me to get married, I wasn't 21. I was only 20. You had to have your parents' consent. Uh-huh. My future mother-in-law and my mother and my fiance, we went to the courthouse in Pittsburgh, and she had given me this piece of paper. I never bothered opening and looking at it because I didn't even know she had it. It was a baptismal certificate, and there's a form base that these two sat in the back of the courtroom, and Fred and I went up to the cage. You give your name, you give your, and there was forms to fill. So Fred filled his, and I filled mine, and then I had to sign it. I signed it K-U-R-I-N-A, Gubbiati. Well, she wouldn't accept it. I said, why? And she said, well, that isn't your name. And on the baptismal certificate, they figured out that it was C-O-R-I-N-A. Now, knowing the part of Italy that my mother came from, when she took me to first grade, I don't know how she said Quirina. I don't know. You know what I mean? How can I remember first grade?
Sure.
Do you remember your first grade? And this lady said, maybe it's Caterina. And my mother said, no, it's Quirina. And because I got that from her later on. And they wanted to call it, I don't know, they had 60 million names. So finally the lady said she'd come up with something. And Quirina started her first grade writing K-U-R-I-N-A. I have my graduation certificate from high school, K-U-R-I-N-A.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't accept it. I had a heart. So then I started to giggle because Fred said, well, can't you just put C-O-R-I-N-A? It sounds the same. I got the giggles so bad. You know, young people there. And that poor mother-in-law of mine, I always say, God forgive her. Me. Forgive me. She said to my mother, what's happening up there? Is Quirina changing her mind? Doesn't she want to marry my son? Well, could my mother tell her? My mother didn't know what the hell was going on. Oh, it was funny. It was funny. I had a lot of incidents that was funny. Even when my husband died, God loved Father Duvall from St. Peter's.
Mm-hmm.
On the marriage license, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had this marriage license all made up. And instead of making it up, Fred T. Grieco is going to marry Quirina T. Grieco. It was Fred T. Grieco was marrying Fred T. You know. When he noticed the mistake, he erased it. And he corrected it. And if you'd look at it, it didn't look as if it would have been erased. And when I had to go, because I was too young for Social Security, but I had to go to with the funeral director to New Kensington, to the Social Security office where they, you know.
When your husband died.
He died, yeah. Mm-hmm. He died in 1977. And I went over with the funeral director, and we were talking that, and they had told me before I went that I had to bring, I didn't have a birth certificate, but then I had to bring our marriage certificate. Mm-hmm. And what a time they gave me. I couldn't understand it. Why? I couldn't understand. I was there with Al Duster, and I thought, well, and they said, where did you get married at? And I told them, St. Peter's. Father Duvall was the pastor. So they called, and by then it was Father Cronin, and they said if they had in their files, because already we were Sacred Heart St. Peter's.
Oh, it was, wow.
And so Father Cronin found it, and Father Cronin said, I'll see that Quirina gets it. And I heard them say, don't you give it to her. You mail it to us. And they wouldn't tell me what was wrong. So coming home with Al Duster, I said, Al, let me stop at the rectory. I got to talk to Father Cronin. What's up? And he laughed. He said, they used the magnifying glass, and they could see that something was erased, and they thought maybe I had erased, you know, erased something. They wouldn't accept it, and Father Duval never told me. So it's twice with my name.
Your first name and your last name. Well, were you born here in West Tarrant?
Yes, yes. German midwife. When I was looking for a birth certificate, I had to get uncles to prove that I was born to my mother. You know, you need all, you go to a magistrate, because I wanted to take a trip with my husband, and I had no birth certificate. So Francis was also delivered by a midwife.
Who was Francis?
My sister Francis. She said, Corina, she said, while you're looking for your birth certificate, she said, why don't you see if you can find mine? Well, they couldn't find mine, but we found hers. And I can understand why people didn't know how to spell her name either, because she was baptized Franciscina after her grandfather, our grandfather. And this German midwife, she had F-R-A-G, then she had C-I-K-G-I-O, I mean, you couldn't, yeah. They didn't know how to, my mother didn't. See, it was hard when you're an illiterate, it's hard, you know. But we finally, both of us got a birth certificate.
So
it seemed real odd when you had to go to a magistrate. I had to have an uncle on one side, an uncle would be my mother's brother. Then I had to get a relation on my dad's side, and he was dead, but my uncle, you know, they had to, you know, swear and prove and sign documents that I was born down on West 8th Avenue. Dead odd.
Did your mother come to this country by herself?
No, she came with her mother and dad and a brother and a sister. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 5. They came, 5 of them. My uncle had come years before, and he worked at Allegheny Steel, at the steelworks, and he had saved his money. So he sent for his mother and dad and the 3 kids that were home. And then later on, he sent for every one of his sisters who were married and had children. There was only one family left in Europe, his oldest sister, who I got to meet. But for some reason or other, they didn't get here. Yeah, Mama left from Genoa, Italy. They didn't go down to Naples, and they landed in Philadelphia. And my uncle was waiting for them. Put them on a train at Philadelphia, and they rode to Breckenridge, up above the railroad track in Breckenridge. They were farmers. And in those days here, to make some extra money, you had boarders. A lot of men that were working.
Mm-hmm.
There were 17 boarders in that house.
How big of a house?
Well, I don't know. It must have been big enough to accommodate them all, you know. My mother came in 1913, met my dad.
How did she
They were from that? 2 different parts of Italy. They didn't even understand each other. But I guess they fell in love. They liked each other. So the courtship was one of these quick ones. Yeah, they got married in January of 1914. And I was born in November of the same year. And it's a shame we have no pictures, nothing. Nobody got married in white.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a house full of boarders, you know. Her 2 sister-in-laws, they thought she was nuts. But she always dreamed to get married in white. Oh. So my dad said, okay. So Mrs. Fishkin, who was a Jewish lady, she had a store in Trenum. She made sure that, you know, she got her wedding band and she got her white gown and you know what I mean. And then they didn't know how they were going to get her to the Italian parish in New Kensington. It's just a little parish then.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, she had to get there somehow. So somehow or other, they got, and I never heard of anybody else doing it. She got a carriage with 4 horses, white horses, got married in January. No pictures. It's a shame.
Oh,
it's a shame. So that's how we got to St. Peter's.
Well, then, did your father live in West Tarentum?
Well, he lived with his friends between Creighton and West Tarentum, but when he got married, he asked his two sisters and two brother-in-laws if he could bring his young wife in. It was tough on him, too, because they didn't understand each other. But it worked out. I don't know whether it would work out today, but it worked out.
Mm-hmm. How did your father's family get to this area?
Well, that's, we don't know. We don't. My dad's dad died when he was a young boy. Like I said, from his part of Italy, they're not much for going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother, when his dad died, his mother had three children, two girls and a boy, and she was unable to take care of these three children. So she mm-hmm. sent my dad with an uncle who had a farm and had other boys. Now, my dad said he was never mistreated, but, you know, he wasn't theirs.
Mm-hmm.
His mother went to a little town called Amelia and raised the youngest daughter. And the girl in between, she, in those days, you gave your daughter to a prominent family that needed servicing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They cleaned your house, and but she was taught the finer things of life. A family in Rome, and she was taught you know, how to set a table. She was taught the silverware bit and how you do this and how you do that. But sometimes there was a little bit of comments that, you know, it was a shame that my grandmother couldn't raise her three kids. So my dad came to this country alone. He got fed up with living over there alone with other people. So then he sent for his two sisters. See, they had a nice rapport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his one sister was married and had children, but the youngest one, he brought her over before she married, and she met somebody here, you know. But they had a closeness there between. My dad was from a central part of Italy, the Umbrian Valley. I don't know if you know anything about the Italian map. But that has nothing to do with West Trentum.
Well, it has to do with some of the people who came here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know when he came. I should dig out his citizenship paper. Maybe that would tell me. I've no idea if he landed in New York. I've no idea if he was at Ellis Island. Because Ellis Island may not have been there. But we don't know. I don't know how much earlier than my mother he came.
Uh-huh.
My mother always said that, you know, she came in 1913. They left from Genoa. Usually the people from Italy left from Naples.
Mm-hmm.
But Mom came from Genoa to... And then I went to New York, to Ellis Island one time. They told me that by computers they could find everything out. It's not true.
Mm.
There was a fire in Ellis Island, so a lot of papers were lost. And then I told them that my mother came from Genoa to Philadelphia, and she said I should either go to the archives in Washington, D.C., or go to the port in Philadelphia that's supposed to be bigger than the one in New York. And as far as my dad's, there's no information about my dad. So I have no idea. I don't even know who he came with. I know he came with a gang of men that were either orphans or didn't know where they came from. And they came and they stuck together all those years, but they're all gone. I called one of the families one day. I wanted to know something. She said, well, what's making you dig out? I said, I'd like, you know, now, I didn't get a chance to ask my dad because he died in 1928. I don't know that much about my father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've been back to his country.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you met his family?
Oh, yeah. Well, all he has is cousins, you know, because he brought his two sisters here.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was the church goer. She went to church, yeah.
Did she take you?
Oh, yeah, because then I made my communion at St. Peter's. I made my confirmation at St. Peter's. I was a Sunday school teacher at St. Peter's.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah. Mm. And then as the churches, you know, progressed, I'll never forget my last year of teaching. I was teaching boys, a boys class. It was to be confirmed, the confirmation class. And they were out to get me. They would get together to stump me, you know, and I didn't have time to do my homework at home. So I said to Father Ackerman, Father Ackerman, the name's not familiar to you.
I've heard people mention.
And I said to him, I says, I'm going to give up. He said, why? You're doing good. I says, no. I said, I'm getting to a point where I knew that they were ganging up on me. They wanted to stop me on something. He said, well, if that's all that's holding you back, he said, we'll have a signal between you and I. So all I had to do was go like this, you know.
Scratch your head.
When I think of that, you know, and here he'd come and I'd say to the boys, great, here's Father Ackerman. He'll answer your question. Because half of those they've done their homework. They'd dig, you know, and then they'd ask me, well, I couldn't answer it. But they all grew up to be nice boys.
Did they?
One of them grew up to be a doctor. One real nice, and I'd meet them after they're married. They'd say, boy, you were a good Sunday school teacher. Uh-huh. But I never told them about Father Ackerman and I. You know, it's odd.
Where did you have the classes?
Downstairs from the church. And I feel bad that they're not tearing it down. Huh. Of course, I realize it would cost them too much money. But they should have never sold the church and the rectory. They should maybe done to tear it down. I hate to see that. They can't use it. They're not using it.
Yeah, the rectory.
Oh, yeah, they made a senior citizens nursing home out of that. I've been there because that was a big house. That was a big house, and they fixed it up to half decent. But the church is what makes me feel better. There's beautiful paintings in there, all over the ceiling. It reminded you when you went to Europe.
Really?
I know. They done away with the alders. I don't know what they've done with those beautiful, all the spirals and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. But they condemned it, so that's when the merger had to come in. And the merger was supposed to have been for all three churches. And Father Malinak would not join us. Because our church, our parishioners had to sign a petition if we were agreeable to the merger. And since they had condemned our church and they had condemned Sacred Heart, yeah. Sacred Heart had the land and we had the money.
Oh.
So then that's why they called it Sacred Heart St. Peter's. Because
mm-hmm.
Father Malinak would not come with us. See, they should have done something then. 20 years have gone by, or maybe more than 20 years. Now they're back to the mergers, and St. Clement's is still giving us a tough time.
Are they how?
They're calling it a worship site, but they won't do anything with us. They have their own women's guild, and they have their own Christian mothers, and they have, you know. Now they're using the excuse that they want to keep their ethnic
identity.
But see, I know people that went there that weren't Slovak, and they didn't do anything ethnic. You know, when they quit the Mass in Polish, they weren't allowed to say it. They said the Mass in either Latin, now it's in English, you know. But I don't know how Father Grosko is going to, I said to Father, you're going to run yourself ragged and get nowhere, because he wants to please everybody. You know, he runs back and forth to the two churches, and that's why they gave us the name of Holy Martyrs. Terrible name.
Did you?
I thought it was terrible till Father mentioned that St. Clements and St. Peter were martyrs. So they figured that the best thing to do is to call our church Holy Martyrs.
So yeah. Those are the, I wondered who the Holy Martyrs were. Those
St. Clements and St. Peter.
Oh.
Yeah. But they still won't come with us. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And how long they're going to be able to keep the worship site, I don't know.
Was it hard when the people from St. Peter's and Sacred Heart came together?
Well, yeah. But then we made up our minds, because, you know, I always said, I don't go to church for who's kneeling near me. Mm-hmm. I don't go to church on account of the priest. I don't. I go to church, you know. And I think if you're nice to people, and if they don't smile back, that's all right. The next time you smile back and say hello,
mm-hmm.
Wasn't too bad. Because a lot of times we sit down now that there's this friction, and the Germans will say, well, we didn't make it that hard, you know. I think you make up your mind and get along with people. And yet the CDFA is mixed.
Oh, is it?
Our Trenum Court is mixed with people from Creighton that belong to Holy Family, that are mixed with people that belong to Blessed Sacrament in Natrona.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that belong to St. Peter's, people that belong to Sacred Heart, people that belong to St. Clement's. We have one court in Trenum, and we get along as CDFA members. I don't know why we couldn't get along to have all one guild.
Yeah.
You know, you going, Fred?
Yeah,
Okay, Francis is going for some therapy.
After you meet me up there.
Okay.
It's not nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Don't let her talk too much. She loses her voice.
I know.
Oh, well, if it's hard on you, tell me when you want to stop, please.
I done all the talking. You didn't do anything. You didn't ask me anything yet.
Let me ask you this. What was it like growing up in West Toronto?
I liked it. Like I said, you grew up, the kids don't believe it. No telephone, no radio. Of course, we didn't have televisions in those days. But as I said, we had Belgian neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
We had a tax collector. His last name was Painter. And Mrs. Painter was a doll. She's the only one that had a telephone on our street. And you could go to Mrs. Painter anytime and she'd make a call for you. You needed a doctor, you needed something, you know. As I said before, my mother and dad both didn't know how to read and write. And my dad done menial jobs. And these Belgians, they had pigeons. Do you remember they used to race pigeons? The Belgian, they always had in the back of their yard. And they didn't race chickens, they raised pigeons, racing pigeons. And they always said to my dad, he said, what could I do? You know, so they coaxed him. They told him what he could do. He became a foreman at the Ford Motor Plant. We had a Ford Motor Plant down here.
Where?
Right across, what's there now? Is it Air Product or something there across? But it was a Ford Motor Plant. There was Pittsburgh Plate. Mm-hmm. There was Glassmere Casting. And there was Ford Motor. That's my dad worked with. Mm-hmm. And he had his own way. He was foreman of his gang. They worked three shifts. That's where he got killed. But he had his own way with these Belgian men helping him. Because my dad would say, I can't do it. Even when he had to get a citizenship paper, I can't do it, you know. But they were a great help to him. They were wonderful people. He had his own methods of keeping track of the hours and telling him what to do. And he was coming home one morning on June the 5th. That's today. I have a mass for him. He was foreman, and he liked to leave the place spotless. We are assuming, as he was leaving the plant, he must have seen something. Because he was coming through where the polishing tables were, these great big round 12-foot tables that revolve. One revolves this way, and the other revolves the opposite way. There was only 6 inches between the revolving tables. The polishing, that's where they polished their glass with the red stuff, you know. We're assuming that the men of that shift were all out, and he was leaving. He was always last to leave. We're assuming that he must have seen something on the ground. He stooped to pick it up. In the meantime, the next shift come in, and nobody has ever blamed them. Evidently, he didn't look good enough. He claims he looked and didn't see anybody. He started the tables. In the meantime, my dad was coming up. So he was crushed between those tables, 6 inches. Yeah. Father Groska said to me this morning, I went down with the offertory, and he said to me, and who's this Celestino? I said, my dad. He said, what do you mean your dad? He always forgets my last name was Gubbiotti. And I told him, I said, he got killed. And he wouldn't know anything about Ford Motor. Mm-hmm. And I said, 1928, June the 5th. Yeah, it's a lot of years. He says, how old are you? And I said, my God, Father, I can't remember. I must have been in the 8th grade. How old are you when you're in the 8th grade?
About 13, usually.
Well, 12. Well, because I remember I had signed up for the academic course because I wanted to be a school teacher. But when my dad died in June, and we talked over with my mother, she was having enough problems sending me to high school because in those days nobody went to high school. Mm-hmm. You know, especially girls or boys, they didn't go to high school. You had to go out and get a job. And my mother and dad had always planned for me to go to high school. And so I changed the course from academic into business. Mm. Yeah. But West Trenton, to me, it was a nice place to live in.
Where did you live?
Down 323, 324 West 8th Avenue. The house is still down there.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
And then did you stay with your two aunts?
No. My mother and dad must have moved three or four times because we had a spell in Arnold not too long. And I don't remember living on West 7th Avenue. In Brackenridge, when we lived in Brackenridge for a year or so, my dad owned his house. I remember that only on account of the fire. There was a plant that went on fire. and we were right across the railroad track, and you know, you this fire, and everybody was watering their roof, you know, and but my sister don't remember us living in Brackenridge, you know. But until we built a house next to one of his sisters, and then we lived up in her attic until our house was built, you know. It's a shame because our house was built. We moved in 1925, right next door to my aunt, and he was thrilled, and he died in 1928. But West Trenton was a nice place. We had shoe stores, we had men's stores, we had a woman's store, we had a Murphy's, we had a 5 and 10, mm-hmm. We had supermarkets, little butcher shops, and I mean everybody knew everybody. We had a drugstore, Mr. Mertland, you know. Boiled meat was 10 cents a pound to make our soup, and you can't get that today, you know. West Trenton was a nice place. Like I said, I thought it blended very well. The three churches, I guess, were independent, mm-hmm. You know.
Did you know people from different nationalities?
Oh, yeah. There was, when the Italian people started to move into Trenton, because most of the Italian people were either in Creighton, because those were the houses down near the plants, or in Brackenridge, you know. But they were from different parts of Italy, but everybody knew everybody. And you would walk, because you didn't have cars to go anywhere. We had to take a ferry to go to New Kensington.
Where did you get that?
The ferry, you got it, before you got to the kid, down around Creighton and back of PPG there somewhere, you got the ferry to go across the river. That was the only way you could get to New Kensington. You know. Then later on, they built the bridge.
When you played, did you play up on the hills?
Oh, yeah. We'd walk up here. This used to be Pittsburgh Plates Plateau. And
was this the plateau?
This is the plateau.
People have talked about the plateau.
Did they talk about the Victory Gardens?
They
had permission. Everybody that lived down in West Trenton, anybody, could come to the hilltop and make a plot. So they all had their gardens up here. They all raised their corn and their tomatoes and their beans and their cabbage. And everybody would leave, you know. Even the women would come help with a hoe. But after work, the men would come up. This was nothing but gardens up here. They used to call it during the wartime, it was the Victory Gardens.
Yeah.
They planted enough vegetables so that you could raise your family on it. Or then they would can. Oh, they used to can everything, you know.
Did you garden up here?
Yeah, my dad did, sure. And we had to kind of give it up when he died in 1928, you know, but they all did. They all did.
How big was your family then?
It was Francis and I. You know. But his one sister, the Quinios, she ended up with 10 children. And my aunt had 3 children, and my mother and dad only had Francis and I, you know. But like I said, for a town, it was really a melting pot. It was a melting pot.
Did you learn any Italian language?
Yes. I never went to school, but my mother spoke Italian. And whenever she liked different people would come in, they used to get the Italian paper, and they would read the Italian novels to her, where that you would continue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, everybody was gone, I guess, because my dad had picked up a few words here and there. So I thought, well, gee, you're worried about that. You wouldn't believe it, and it's hard. The teachers believe it, but I picked it up just to read the novels to my mother. But it was hard work. And then she would help me out. See, she knew the story.
Uh-huh.
It's just like you reading a book. Then somebody else is going to be reading that book to you. Basically, you know the line. So the words, she'd put the story together in her mind, and so the words that I couldn't pronounce or didn't know what the hell it meant, she'd tell me.
So
I even corresponded with Italy. But my letters to Italy are the plainest letters anybody can write. Mm-hmm. Because I have a dictionary. I know what I want to say. I have to look it up. It would take me a week to write a note.
Uh-huh.
But they're very plain letters. I can talk up a storm.
In both Italian and English?
Oh, yeah, but Italian more. Especially if I get angry, you know. And it's a my meetings were all conducted in Italian.
What meetings?
I belong to the Italian Sons and Daughters of America, and our lodge was in Breckenridge, and they conducted their meetings in Italian. You know, you talk to Italian, and but you know, those people, they're all dead. And I'm getting to a point, and my children would never learn, because I lived home with my mother until I moved here. Mm-hmm. I had three children, lived in one bedroom. It reminded you of a hospital ward. My double bed, and then you had a twin bed, and maybe a little youth something, and a crib, you know, because I had three of them. And that's why my father-in-law gave me permission then to build here, because my oldest boy, he got to a point where he didn't want to go to bed at night, you know. He'd fall asleep on the couch. And my in-laws would say, well, why? I'd say, well, so then then we came here. Mm-hmm. And after the frame of the house was all up, the bricks were all up, and we were supposed to have three bedrooms upstairs, Fred decides to ask my mother and sister to come with me. I said, where are you going to put them? So we chopped up the one bedroom, made two out of it. So her room wasn't bad, her and Francis. And my room's a nice size room, but all you have in Molly's room was a twin bed and a dresser.
Who is Molly?
My daughter. Mm-hmm. And I have two boys. They have a double bed, and the cupboard door does not open. It only opens part way because, there wasn't enough room there. Uh-huh. So those were rooms just to sleep in. You couldn't bring friends up to your bedroom because we were fine. My mother said she was going to live with me for 14 years. Because she owned her own house. Mm-hmm. But she was with me longer than 14 years. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't sell her house because she said she didn't get along with my husband and she could always go back to her place. She had that independence about mm-hmm. her. But her and Fred got along fine, mm-hmm. you know. So finally, after 14 years, she sold her house. But she was with me, yeah. She's been gone 22 years.
Now that's amazing. Your mother didn't grieve, but she knew the story. Mm-hmm. You didn't know much Italian, but you read it to her, mm-hmm. and she helped
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. That is. Because Franny understands it, but she gets tongue-tied. She can't answer. My three children, my mother talked to me Italian all day long. Franny was working. And she would try to talk to the children, and you would hear them say, Ma, there goes Nana again. I don't understand her. And then she started to pick up the English language. She felt that she may as well pick it up. You know, she wasn't getting anywhere with the Italian. She done pretty good. She went to night school, learned to write her own name. She never learned to read, but she learned to speak. She didn't speak with an accent. Mm. My mother done very well, mm-hmm. very well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting that she and her Slovak neighbor mm-hmm. communicated also.
Yes, Slovaks and Belgians, and I don't know what painter was. I don't know what painters.
I
have no idea. Painter don't sound Belgian to me. You know, the Belgians have the Belgian names, you know.
Yeah.
Wonderful people. Wonderful.
Who were the doctors that you knew around here when you were growing up?
Going back as far as that, it was Dr. Hallman. Marlon Hallman. Dr. Woods, W-O-O-D-S. Who's that one from Breckenridge? I knew him because he went to all of my aunts. He delivered all of my aunts' children. He wasn't our doctor, though. Then later on, there was the other Hallman, Glenn. They both had children. Then when Marlon died, Dr. Rue came in. He's no longer with us. He's dead. Dr. Chesko, then Dr. Kahn came in, he was a Korean, Dr. Montgomery came in, there was a young Montgomery that went to school with my dad, not my dad, my husband. If you bring up a name, then the name's familiar, because I knew they treated somebody, you know. One doctor here in West Trenton was very, very good. Dr. McQuaid, he was good to the older people. He made house calls and whatnot. nice community. I remember when West 8th Avenue was dirt, mm-hmm. and the sidewalks was dirt, but the sidewalks set higher than the street. Mm-hmm. And I remember the horse and buggies, you know, for the fruit men. They'd come around with the fruit, you know.
Where did they come from?
I have no idea. But, I even knew his name. And we had the Rags-a-Line people, you know, the people came around for rags.
Yeah, what do you call them?
Rags-a-Line. They'd say, Rags-a-Line. I don't know why it was Rags-a-Line. Pick up rags and pick up, you know. But whoever had it, they had a little horse and buggy.
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, how did I meet him? He was working for the election. And his job was to pick up people. That by then there was some cars around. Mm-hmm. Not that we had any, but he had a car. And he would take people to the voting polls. Because, you know, if you didn't take the Italian people or the Slovak people, you know, you had to talk to them and kind of coax them who to vote for and then take them to the polls, and then they voted themselves. Unless you got permission to go in there with them, you know. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it was just an X. You know, they didn't have to sign your name. But he claims he saw me, and he went to see my uncle, because my dad was dead. I was a junior in high school. I says, I didn't want to go with Freddie. I can't, but I had high ideals. I didn't want to go with him. He had been going with a girl for years, but he coaxed and coaxed, and finally in those days, you couldn't date. You weren't allowed to date. Especially my mother raising kids without a husband. Mm-hmm. So
You mean you wouldn't have been allowed to date, or your mother wouldn't have dated?
My mother wouldn't have allowed me to date. You know that. So, and I guess Freddie was complaining with his mother and his dad. And this uncle of mine, you'd go see my uncle. They were close friends because they were barbers. And my in-laws had the junkyard down on 7th Avenue, you know. So my mother knew my mother-in-law, just to know her. But they come up and they wanted to talk to me. And
who came?
The mother and father, Mr. and Mrs. Greco.
Oh.
Too old, God love them. And he says, why don't you like my son? I said, I don't even know your son. All I knew him, he'd run up and down with a red roadster, you know. I knew he played football, he was a wrestler, and you know. And it's odd when you're young, you know. And I thought I was going to graduate. I was going to get a good job. And, you know, who wanted to be bothered? Well, see, fate had it. It didn't work that way. And I wasn't allowed to date. And I wasn't allowed to go out. And so my father-in-law said to me, why don't you at least take a ring from him? If you take the ring, then your mother will let you at least go out with him. He said, who knows? You might like him. You know, when you tell somebody that, they'll say, well, that's ridiculous. So I must have said no for months. And finally I says, oh, well, all right. I loved those two old people, you know. Yeah, they were supposed to have been millionaires, and they weren't, because we never had two nickels to rub together. But I let them go ahead and think that I had married into a millionaire family. So I took the ring, 1932. I graduated in June, and my birthday was in November, and they had a lovely party for me. And Fred presents me with this ring. But my father-in-law made me promise him one thing. He said, if you don't feel that you want to continue with my son, he said, you let me know first. Well, I found out later on why he wanted to know first, because when the first girl dropped him, I guess he almost had a nervous breakdown, was going to commit suicide. He was going with the most beautiful redhead that you'd ever want to know. So he said, you tell me first, you know, before you return the ring. But, you know, going out, and he did try his damnest, and I did get to go to some places that I wouldn't have gone. You know, we got to go down to the Stanley Theater that used to have some shows then. I hated wrestling, but I'd go to the wrestling matches or something. I made him wait 2 years. Because I thought surely I was going to get a job, you know.
Did you get a job?
Nope. Depression. During the Depression, yeah. It was terrible. So I decided to get married. Mm-hmm. But it worked out. It was a compromise, you know. He had to learn my ways, and I had to learn his ways. But it worked, and my in-laws were terrific. They were terrific. Yeah. And of all the people, whenever my wedding bands were in the paper, to meet is this redhead. Because she lived on West 8th Avenue. She stopped me one day. She's, "Oh, Karina, you're marrying a hell of a nice guy." I said, "And you dropped him?" So then I found out later on she was the type that had no scruples. I guess she was the type that should have gone to bed with Fred, you know, and he was respecting her, you know. Mm-hmm. But she thought I got a hell of a good guy. Mm-hmm. That still has nothing to do with our church, does it?
Well, it has to do with the story of Tarentum and the mm-hmm. people who lived here. That's what made Tarentum.
There used to be coal mines here. See, this hilltop, there was underneath, there was coal mines. Now, my house is not on top of a mine. Uh-huh. The shaft was on Crystal View. But this was coal mine time.